T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Who dat? It's actually Deuce McAllister filling in for Christian today, and looking forward to having an outstanding show with you guys. I'll be with you from 4 to 7. At 6 to 7, we will have Latavius Murray joining us as our Hood Automotive player. We get to talk about, obviously, the game that he had this past weekend, but also looking forward to the Atlanta Falcons. But at 4:30, we will have the executive vice president of basketball operations, Mr. David Griffin of the Pelicans, on with us. And at 5:20, the voice of the New Orleans Saints, Zach Strief, will be joining me. And so you guys can give us a call at on the whodatlending.com and talk text line at 504-260-1870. Look forward to hearing from you and reading some of the texts and just being able to talk a little bit about our Saints, our Pelicans, as well as the LSU Tigers, who have a tall task this weekend as they take on the Alabama Crimson Tide, and just be able to break down a little bit of the college football, how a couple of teams and conferences are have been angling to protect their teams in a sense, a little bit, as far as to get them in the playoffs or to make sure that they get in, at least into that conversation. Mark Menard's straight. Keep me straight. Mark, how you doing?
I'm doing good, Deuce. How are you doing?
I'm doing pretty good, man. It's a little bit closer for this New Orleans Saints team to being able to qualify for the playoffs. They technically can this weekend, and we won't go over every scenario, but they're basically two games away from clinching the division, but really one game away and some other things happening for them from being able to at least clinch a playoff spot. And I don't know if you have that up in front of you, but you don't have to go over everything, but you can give us a little detail into that.
Essentially, you know, if they win, all they need is a loss or a tie by the Chicago Bears, which I'm not sure I understand why they need that since they've already beaten the Bears this season. But that was official from the NFL. So the Saints need a win over Atlanta and a loss by Chicago, and they are officially in. And then, as you said, they're close to clinching a division championship. They would need either two wins or two losses by the Bucks, or one of each. But they can only get one of those this weekend because the Bucks are on a bye week. So they're not going to get a loss out of the Bucks this week. So they have to settle for the win and then maybe clinch the division next week.
Yeah, and that Bucks team, you talk about Bucks team that's been reeling. Last loss was obviously against the Rams in Kansas City this past weekend. So, and you throw the Saints in there, and it hadn't been pretty for them in the last couple of games. But what's interesting is, Mark, my understanding with the Saints and the Bears is if the Bears won out, they technically could be able to clinch their division as well as be able to, I don't want to say knock the Saints out, but if the Saints lost, knock on wood, you know, we're not talking negative, but some bad stuff would have to happen. How about that? I'll just leave it alone. I don't even explain it as far as Chicago is concerned.
Well, I could wrap my brain around that, because if Chicago wins out and wins the division, that would potentially push Green Bay into the wild card race.
Correct.
And Green Bay has a win over the Saints, so I could see where that might be an issue. But it's going to take a lot for that to happen. If the Saints win this weekend, they'll virtually be all over but the crying in terms of a playoff berth. How about that?
I agree. I agree. I mean, because basically, essentially, you just need one win in your last four or five games, whatever it is from that standpoint. But, I mean, at least you would qualify for the playoffs. But we know this team has their eyes set on something a little bit greater than the playoffs.
But you can't win if you don't get in, right?
I agree 100% with you there. I agree 100% with you there. And so, you know, looking forward to a great show. And then, obviously, you talk about the Pelicans. Was it official from the NBA, or those were just some of the tentative scheduling for the Pelicans and the league as far as start games or games that will be starting? Right now, the Pelicans will play on Christmas Day again. I guess the number two team in the NBA, or at least a team that finished number two this past year, against the Miami Heat. And that starts the Christmas Day games for the NBA. Is that correct, Mark?
That's correct. It's first game of the day. It's 11 a.m. local time here in New Orleans. You know, so noon Eastern. It's going to be in Miami. So it's going to be a road game. And from what I can tell, it looks like they've kind of released the first few days worth of what we can expect from the NBA. And it looks like that's going to be the Pelicans season opener. So they're gonna, you know, they're gonna get things rolling in a big way in front of a potentially big audience on Christmas morning as they take on the Heat, and we'll get our first look at this, you know, this new look lineup since the Jrue Holiday trade and bringing in Steven Adams, bringing in Eric Bledsoe, and bringing in a newly signed, newly rich Brandon Ingram.
Yeah, and so you're looking for some growth, and as well as a new coach
and a new coach.
Yeah, Coach Van Gundy, you know, being able to set the stage as far as what he wants, because camp basically opens, and we'll basically say in a couple of days, you know, training camp will basically open in a couple of days, and you'll have the season right around the corner. So we'll chat with Executive Vice President David Griffin here shortly about just his outlook and the planning, and then a couple of things. You know, there won't be a bubble. There won't be a bubble, and how they will try to navigate that as far as that's concerned. I mean, because we've seen how, and I understand the difference as far as the number of players, but will their staff have to be pared down? I want to know, you know, hey, look, how does travel look for you guys? Will you be able to travel like that in the past, or will it have to be something different? You know, just because I know the NFL, how they make them have to travel and some different things that they have to do. And we'll get some of those answers, or hopefully we'll at least ask the questions and hopefully get some of those answers. But we're looking forward to.
You know what else is interesting is you mentioned training camp in a couple of days, but they're about 11 days away from the start of the preseason when they play the same team they opened the season against, the Miami Heat, in a preseason contest on the 14th. They only have two preseason games, and one of them is actually against the team they're actually going to be playing in the potential season opener.
Yeah, so I figure you won't see a lot in that. I mean, you'll see some guys get some run, but not a lot. And I think also Milwaukee, the Bucks is one of their I think is one of their preseason games. Is that correct?
I think so. I'd have to go double check, but they only have two. Yeah. So Miami's certainly the first one. And I'm like you. I get Milwaukee and Minnesota mixed up in my brain a little bit. I'd have to double check, but I think you're right.
Yeah, I think it is. But regardless, we're excited. We're excited about having Griff on with us, and then obviously Zach and Latavius. So I want you guys to get in the game and give us a call on the WhoDatLending.com and talk text line at 504-260-1870. This is Deuce McAllister on WWL. Welcome back with Deuce McAllister here, filling in for Christian Garrett on the WhoDatLending.com talking text line, 504-260-1870, and looking to talk to Executive Vice President of the New Orleans Pelicans, David Griffith, here shortly. And just to be able to ask him a few questions, the Pelicans do open training camp on Sunday. And like we said, Mark, they do have the one preseason game or two preseason games. The one home preseason game will be against the Milwaukee Bucks. You know, you'll get opportunity to see Jrue Holiday and Giannis and those guys, you know, a pretty good team over in the Eastern Conference. And, you know, for the Pelicans, they want to continue to build upon the team that they have assembled here. You talk about Zion Williams, you talk about Bledsoe, you talk about Lonzo, you talk about Adams, you know, a lot of moving pieces. And just to be able to get Coach Griff's his opinion, or at least how he sees this team being able to grow, you know, just to be able to get some of that knowledge from him, and just obviously the rookie as well, point guard Kyrie Lewis, you know, just how he sees him fitting into that rotation as well. I mean, because when you look at it, in a sense, you almost say it's guard heavy. And they were able to add some forwards to that roster as well. But, you know, just to see, hey, look, it's not a finished product. There is some work to be done. Obviously, you can make some moves. This is a shortened, condensed season that they will be having. So, you know, injuries are always a part of the game. Knock on wood, they're never any hopefully serious. And so we'll just get his view and how he thinks, what other tweaks maybe that may need to be made as they – kind of make their push for a playoff spot. And so, you know, it's interesting this year. Mark, I want to ask you as well, get your opinion on the new format, the play-in games, as far as seven, eight, and nine, you know, those teams having to play against each other to be able to add a little drama to what they have going on as far as the NBA is concerned, but also those fringe teams to see if they can, kind of like they had in the bubble, play their way into the actual playoffs. You know, just get your take on that, Mark.
I think it's something that's necessary in the West. I don't know if you really need it in the East, but if you got to do it for one, you got to do it for the other. And obviously the NBA doesn't want to go with a simple 16 best teams format. They want the Eastern Conference to get their share of the pie. So I like it. It's going to give, you know, two other teams in the West a shot at getting in, and that's good for the Pelicans because, you know, I think that this is a team that, you know, I always said last year that they were – you know, last year was probably a year too early to expect any type of playoff run, but I think this is a team that this year can at least push to be in the top 10.
Well, they kept us on the edge, though. I mean, I think that was the thing. You saw how well they were playing up until the bubble. You know, they were starting to make some progress, kind of figure out who they were, find themselves a little bit as far as the team was concerned, and then COVID hits, and, you know, it's kind of stopped. You felt like that you were going – You were going to catch Memphis, and then everything hits with COVID, and, you know, you kind of are out of that situation, and we know how the bubble ended up, you know, not necessarily playing as well as we wanted to. But I do have Mr. David Griffin on the phone with us. Griff, how you doing?
Deuce, I'm doing really well, man. Really excited to be on with you. When they told me it was going to be you and not Christian, I said, Deuce on the loose, count me in.
Well, I surely appreciate it, and definitely thank you for taking a little bit of your time out of your schedule for us to be able to talk. And so my goal and my job is to continue to grow this product as far as our basketball team is concerned. And then, you know, and I just want to get your opinion on that, on some of the things that we have to continue to do, just because this is a team that, well, not this necessarily team, but basketball left the city of New Orleans for a while, and so it's starting to we want to grow that fan base, and I think it's only right that we do our part in, you know, continue to push this Pelicans team and the product that we have, and just want to get your overall feel, you know, of how we continue to do that in the city of New Orleans as well as the region.
Yeah, I mean, I think the first thing is it's on us to put together a product and a team that people identify with. And Coach Van Gundy, from the beginning in his very first press conference, he talked about the fact that what we want to be is a team that's ready anytime, anywhere, under any circumstances. And that's what our fan base is. That's what they deserve from us. And I think we've gone out of our way to bring in guys that are of that mindset. And I know from a coaching perspective, we're going to coach to that. So Won't Bow Down wasn't meant to be a slogan. It was meant to be who we are. And I think we're much closer to that. And because of that, I think we've got a product the fans are going to really embrace.
Well, I definitely think that we'll continue to grow that fan base, and I think, you know, it's something that it'll be a part of us. And when you talk about teams in the past, we've tried to play maybe at a fast pace, and you talked about Coach Van Gundy and how, and some of the personnel that he's brought in, some of the players that he's brought in, and listening to some of the things he said, you know, I think this team wants to hang its hat on defense. Do you think that that's really and not that it's going to be a shift, a dramatic shift, but that's one of the areas that we feel like that we have to get better in as far as defense and whether it's rebounds, et cetera?
Well, I think if you look at his career as a head coach, the defensive side of the ball has been an area that he's excelled in. I think it's something that his teams in Detroit, when our Cleveland teams played them in the playoffs, they were as prepared for literally every single thing we were going to throw at them as you could be. So he'll have that done from a scheming standpoint. We went really heavy on defense, culture, and character and the players we brought in because we've got guys that our elite talent is really athletic and we can play really fast. But what that requires is that you defend and you get the defensive rebound. And because of that, I think you're going to see us, unlike last year where we played fast just all the time, I think you're going to see us play fast off of defensive stops. That's an area that Coach is really focused on. And maybe you'd call us a much better counter-punching team this year. And we're going to be focused more on getting stops and running off of those.
Well, and a lot of times also you talk about set plays or even out of bounds, finishing the game, finishing the halves, you know, just doing a better job in those 2 to 3 minute moments to be able to say, hey, look, we are going to either finish the game a certain way or we know certain set plays we can go out and execute, you know. And I think when you have a veteran team, you can allow them to be able to look, call some of their own plays, but maybe a younger team where you're trying to set a culture, you want that head coach to be able to do a little bit more. Is that something that you guys are going to probably lean on as well a little bit more?
Yeah, I think you're going to see us lean more on coach in circumstances like that and draw more specific plays up to get specific guys shots. And the reason for that, and you pointed it out, is we're very young. So it's not a situation where you could say unequivocally we know how to run the offense ourselves. And I think Stan and his staff are going to really try to take advantage of the fact that Brandon Ingram and Zion Williamson can get into really special positions on the floor, but they need some help in knowing which ones of those positions to go to at what time. And so I think Coach is going to really do a good job of bringing that talent together and make us a much more cohesive product in big, tight moments and games.
Yeah, speaking with David Griffin, Pelicans Executive Vice President of Basketball Operations, and Coach, I want to ask you a couple questions about how the adjustment of not having the bubble like you had down in Orlando and having to travel to different stadiums. Has the NBA kind of given you that protocol exactly, or that's something still a work in progress as far as how they're trying to handle everything with that?
Well, I think not unlike the NFL, we're trying to figure it out. I think it's going to be a work in progress for a while. I know the league and the Players Association are talking to each other about different things we can do to quarantine on the road, in hotels, and try to keep everybody locked down together. But I also think that's not terribly realistic in many circumstances. So ultimately, what we're going to have to do as a team is impress upon our teammates how important it is to take care of themselves and that every decision they make for themselves impacts the whole. And if we're mindful of that, if we're a team that does a better job of taking care of ourselves, we're going to win a hell of a lot more games because many teams won't do that. I mean, in the NFL version, you saw what happened with the Ravens by way of example. Well, if that happens in the NBA, that could cost you 10, 12 games. You know, we don't have that luxury. So I think we're going to have to do a really good job of impressing upon everybody how much bigger this is than just themselves.
And Griff, I have to ask you, has the NBA thought about, or, you know, is that an option? Or I guess you can always call them up from the D League, but will they allow you maybe to carry more players just because of COVID, like the NFL kind of loosened up their roster restrictions?
I think they won't let us carry more players, but I think we may have a bigger active roster. So historically, you can carry up to 15 and only have 13 actives. I think what they're doing, because they're going to allow us to have 17, including our two-way players, I think you may see them give us an active roster of 15 guys. And so they've given us some flexibility that we didn't have in the past with our two-way players. we'll be able to keep those guys with us all year, and their salary won't impact the salary cap at all. So they are giving us a little bit of flexibility. If it's not more players, it's certainly an easier way to keep them around.
And I know that you guys are kind of like on the NFL side as far as fans and stadium capacity-wise. Is that something that, I mean, you have to adhere to the local and state regulations, but is that something that you guys are still working your way through as well as far as fans are concerned?
Yeah, so we're one of only five teams in the league that will have fans starting as early as our preseason game. And Dennis Lauscha and his team on the business side have done a really, really good job of mapping out what that looks like. They've been interfacing with the city and the state in terms of what it needs to look like to meet all of those social distancing criteria. So I think you'll see us be pretty forward thinking in that space. We want as many of our fans present as we can possibly have. And so Dennis and his team have worked really hard on bringing about the reality that we will be one of only five teams with fans there.
Speaking with David Griffin, Pelicans Executive Vice President of Basketball Operations. And Griff, I got to ask you as far as the expectations for this team. We knew the timeline, you know, really with Drew and him, giving him the opportunity to kind of compete right now. But with this team, I mean, I think the push with, you know, just Zion being in his second year, some of that group being together at least last year, maybe a different head coach. But the push for this team, I think, obviously, long term, we know it's playoff, you know, contender, top four seed every year. But right now, this year, you know, do you think that you have enough of the right pieces to make that push, at least to qualify for the playoffs, particularly how they have the rules set aside?
Well, this is certainly the period of time where hope springs eternal at every NBA team, and we're no different. We're looking at the roster we have, and we've got guys that are about the right things. We've gone really, really heavy on guys that are ultra-competitive human beings. We're very much going to be of the mindset to compete for every position during training camp. And because of that, and because of the elite talent we have in the Brandon Ingram and the Zion Williamson and Lonzo Ball, the guys that we have that can play at a really high level that are young kids, coupled with the veterans and Bledsoe and Steven Adams that we have, We're excited. J.J. Redick is very excited about the group we have together. So I think I know one thing. This team is going to compete at a level that everybody in our fan base is proud of. And if we do that and we stay healthy, I think the results will take care of themselves.
I agree 100% with you right there. If they go out there and compete, that's all we could ask. You know, that's all we could ask. And just, you know, I know every day, every game that you go out and play, you may not feel like that you have it, but if we could just go out and compete, you know, I think that they'll make that fan base extremely proud. Griff, I definitely appreciate you being able to come on with me, and I look forward to being able to talk a little hoops with you a little bit more. And I'm pulling for the Pelicans, and I can't wait to be able to catch you guys. And I know camp starts this Sunday, and wishing you all the best of luck as well as health. And thank you for taking a little time to be able to talk to me.
Thanks so much, Deuce. Good to be with you.
Yes, sir. Thank you so much. David Griffin, the Pelicans Executive Vice President, and I'm pulling for those guys, man. They've done a great job of assembling talent, kind of retooling that whole roster over the last couple of years, and the future is bright in New Orleans for our Pelicans basketball team, and like he said, they will not bow down. This is Deuce McAllister on WWL. Deuce McAllister here filling in for Christian Garrett, and you can give us a call on the WhoDatLending.com talk and text line, 504-260-1870, or shoot me a text. Just had a really good conversation with the Executive Vice President of the New Orleans Pelicans, David Griffin, and just some of the expectation that he has for that team and really for us as far as fans for that team. And, you know, it was interesting that they are only one of five NBA teams that will have fans at least when the regular season starts. You know, hopefully the restrictions loosen up as the season goes on, but they're only one of five that will have fans in. And I know that the business side of it, they have probably reconfigured a little bit of the Smoothie King Center as well, you know, to be able to space it out not only from a player standpoint, but, you know, I don't think that you'll have fans right there on the sideline. I think they'll be pushed back a little bit more, and so it'll be interesting to see how that's all done. But at the end of the day, to be able to go in and enjoy those Pelicans are one of the things that we're looking forward to. And, you know, you talk about Zion Williamson and hopefully the growth that he has had going into his second year. I know, you know, just reading and listening to some of the things that he has talked about as far as really as a rookie, I guess, trying to fit in a sense and not rock the boat. For him, he's going to have to be assertive. He's going to have to be kind of that alpha dog. And, you know, it's tough when you're young, but at the same time, I think you can do it if your play speaks for itself. And, you know, you've got the enforcer of Steven Adams, so that's not what you're going to have to do or be. I mean, I know you're not going to allow anybody to kind of small ball you in a sense as far as treat you in a negative manner, but at the same time, you know, he's going to have to be that alpha. And, you know, that's the same thing with Brandon Ingram as far as being able to, you know, we talked a little bit about how you finish a game. You know, if it's a set play, you know, do I want him on the elbow? Do I want to put them in a pick-and-roll situation? Is it a pure isolation situation? And so just figuring out, and, you know, a lot of that will be based off of matchups as far as, you know, is this team doubling a certain player, or can this player be able to create and get his own shot? You know, a lot of that will come into play, but, you know, I think that we should all be excited to watch this young team hopefully grow in that second year that they are kind of together. And then, you know, you talk about Lonzo, and you talk about JJ, you talk about Josh Hart, you talk about Nikhil, some of those guys that they have. Can those guys continue to band and play together and know a little bit more about each other as far as players, styles, how to be able to create their own shot, you know, whether you're talking about second team, et cetera, being able to not lose a lead or being able to play as a group as far as a second team. We know that Griff and company, you know, it's a positionless league at this point. And one of the things they talked about was, hey, look, we want to put Zion at the three. You know, well, some of that is going to be based off of matchups. Some of that's going to be based off conditioning. You know, is he in the condition to be able to keep up with a fleet-footed smaller guy at the three, or at least a guy that wants to take him out on the perimeter and just be able to take him off the dribble? I mean, and I think, you know, when you talk about that as well, being able to get help side defense, or even, you know, taking advantage of it when it's opposite and he's the guy that can post or at least come outside and being able to take a guy off the dribble in that sense. I think those are all things that this team can do. But, you know, at the end of the day, it's about them being healthy first and foremost. I mean, because we saw really last year how they could not necessarily – couldn't get healthy, but it was very rare for the complete season that those guys were healthy, particularly before COVID hit and, you know, really stopped everything. But, I mean, I know we're excited about that franchise here in New Orleans and the opportunity that they have. And, you know, it doesn't matter how they get in, as long as they can get in. And, obviously, the NBA and the television partners thinks highly of them. And, you know, like I said, to play on Christmas Day for a team that, you know, doesn't necessarily have the long history of playing in some of those elite games is a feather in its hat. You know, and I know some people may say, well, the Knicks are playing on Christmas Day. Well, the Knicks have a long history of being successful. Now, they've been horrible the last 15 to 20 years, or maybe not 20 years, but they've been horrible for a long, long time. And they still are a team that is featured on Christmas Day. So I understand some teams that have some young stars, they may have a legitimate gripe. But I think, you know, a lot of eyes want to see the improvement and the growth of a guy like Zion Williamson. And so, you know, we're excited about that. And we're going to be definitely following them as far as this year is concerned. And, you know, as we – I get ready to have to take a break here. We'll turn the focus a little bit to the Saints and see exactly where they stand. We got the injury report out today. and a little frustrated. A little frustration. Marcus Davenport, one of the guys that missed practice today with a concussion. He was able to go yesterday as far as practice was concerned, and I guess it was something that happened at some point yesterday that kind of knocked him out. Hopefully it's not anything that's too serious. I don't know if you can come out of the protocol that quick, so his availability is going to be in question, or at least somewhat questionable. We'll just have to kind of wait and see what tomorrow looks like, as well as Saturday, as he goes through that protocol. One of the players that had been in concussion protocol, Andres Pete, he was a full participant again, so it'll be interesting to see what the Saints do there at that left guard position with him. You know, it was against Atlanta, actually, that he got hurt in that game, and so Nick Easton has played really well the last couple of weeks filling in for Pete, and so, you know, it'll just be interesting to see how they kind of use him and what they try to do at that position, as it's a critical division game against the Atlanta Falcons, and, you know, a team that just thrashed the Las Vegas Raiders this past Sunday. I mean, the Raiders couldn't get out of their own way with the turnovers, with the penalties, and, you know, Atlanta, I think they're going to play with a little bit more confidence than they did when they came and met the Saints last week or 2 weeks ago, you know, because, like I said, Julio, I think, in my opinion, is the key to that team. He didn't play against the Raiders, but he didn't need to. I mean, from an offensive standpoint, they didn't put up a ton of numbers. I mean, because it was always a short field just because the Raiders kind of beat him up. But it was interesting that their kicker had to kick 5 field goals. And so Atlanta was not closing out drives, even though that they scored, you know, north of 40 points. But a lot to discuss. And at 5:20, I'll have my booth mate, Zach Streif, on to kind of discuss and talk about that, and, you know, we'll close the book really on the Denver Broncos. But, you know, I have Latavius Murray, the L train on with me on the Hood Automotive player show from 6 to 7. So give me a call, 504-260-1870. This is Deuce McAllister on WWL.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.